Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past few days, we've been talking about pictures that have been posted on the Salt Lake Tribune that have been provided by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that show the seer stone that Joseph Smith used to translate the Book of Mormon. And believe me, I'm using the word translate in quotation marks. This is a big story. These came out on August 4th, 2015, and it has shocked a lot of Latter-day Saints who were not aware that that was the means Joseph Smith used to produce Mormonism's sacred book, the Book of Mormon. Many have been led to believe that the artist's rendition of Joseph Smith looking at the plates and perhaps running his fingers across the plates is the way it was actually done. Well, we've known for years that that's not really true, but yet, even though the Mormon Church has not completely hidden this, and we want to make that very clear, there are some articles from years past that you can find on LDS.org that do speak of Joseph Smith having a seer stone, or a peep stone, as it was known at that time. Joseph Smith would take this seer stone and put it in a hat. He would draw the hat closely to his face to exclude the light. And in the darkness, characters would appear either on the rock or in the rock or through the rock. It's kind of confusing sometimes. But anyway, these characters would appear, and Joseph Smith would read the characters off to his scribe, and when they were correct and read back to him properly, they would disappear and go on to the next set of characters. Today we want to focus mainly on how this news has been affecting some members in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, I've read on some blog sites, Eric, where some Mormons are acting as if they've known about this all along, and this is nothing troubling to them. Of course, I have to wonder what would be troubling to some people like that who seem to feel that it doesn't matter what Joseph Smith did, it's okay. It kind of goes along with what we've been saying for many years, and that is, Joseph Smith, because of the presupposition that many Latter-day Saints have, that he is a prophet of God, that somehow he has a license to do whatever he wants, and whatever he does should be okay with the membership, based on that premise that he is a prophet of God. Many people look at it a little bit differently. For instance, we, looking from the outside in, would say, wait a minute, there's some things in Joseph Smith's behavior that just don't match Christian behavior. Because of this, we see some problems with Joseph Smith's alleged calling as a true prophet of God. But we do know that there are some people that have been very bothered by this. And there's a blog site that we want to look at today. It's called Rational Faiths, Keeping Mormonism Weird. Now, that doesn't sound like it's too sympathetic to Mormonism, but the person who writes this blog is a former Mormon missionary by the name of Paul Barker. And I think Paul Barker says some things that are worthy of note, because he's not the only one that has these feelings, and how should I describe them, but feelings of remorse, because when he was on a mission, he trained people, he taught people, potential converts, what they call investigators. He taught them Mormon doctrine and Mormon history as he was led to believe it at the time. And now he finds out that it's not the way it really happened. What does Mr. Barker say?
And this was posted on August 6, 2015. I'm sorry, Argentina. And he writes, I'm sorry, Argentina. I taught you incorrectly. When I served my mission in Rosario, Argentina, 1994 to 1996, I misled the people I taught. I feel terrible because I fell in love with the people there. I was treated with kindness and respect. They welcomed me into their homes. We ate together, sung together, prayed together, and cried together. I am forever changed because of the love they showed me. When I was a young missionary, I wanted to improve the discussions, or charlas, as we called them. We were provided a flip chart that had illustrations so that the investigator could better understand. I'm sure it was hard enough to understand with our American accents. In the flip chart, there weren't many images to relate to during the teachings, especially in the first charla. So I took the liberty to add more. My resource was old Liahona and Ensign magazines that every missionary apartment had. I began my search with scissors and glue stick in hand. I found some great ones, and the investigators, I felt, were getting a better idea of what was being taught. And then he puts some of those images in. So instead of the image of Heavenly Father and Jesus appearing to Joseph Smith, he also included a picture of Joseph Smith reading a large book. It looks like it could be possibly the Bible. And
well, let me inject something here, because the picture that he has would be recognized by probably every Latter-day Saint. It shows Joseph Smith kneeling down with this bright light above him. Now, you mentioned the Father and the Son. The images of the Father and the Son aren't exactly in this particular picture that we see on the blog site, but that certainly is implied that this is the alleged first vision.
Well, and his third picture has the Father and the Son in front
of Joseph Smith. You're right about that. He does include it there.
And then he actually shows a picture of the flip chart that he put together with these other pictures to give the investigator a better idea of what actually took place in Joseph Smith's history. Then he writes, "See how much better the story is told with these images? You get Joseph studying, and then God the Father and Jesus appeared while I recited, 'Vi una columna de luz más brillante que el sol.'"
Not bad for you.
For a gringo
myself. Yeah, for a gringo there.
He said there were no images that explained the Book of Mormon in the flip chart, so I went to the church's publications to find a picture of how the translation happened. This is where I totally went wrong. I searched for images of the Urim and Thummim, but I couldn't find any. I remembered one from my youth, but I couldn't find it in any of the hundreds of magazines that were stacked in my apartment. I did, however, find a ton of Joseph with him studying, reading the plates, with either him writing or a scribe writing. And then he settles for these images, and he shows some of the pictures that he has. But the second image, he's taking a look at the plates. At the gold plates, Joseph Smith is using his finger to go through the lettering, and that's how he would have translated.
And so he had, and that's a common image. That is a very common image that many Latter-day Saints would probably recognize immediately, showing Joseph Smith in this prayerful position, looking closely or intently at the plates with his finger on them. And I think most Mormons would probably say, without any other information readily available to them, that that's how he did it. Probably never even asking the question, well, what about the Urim and Thummim that was allegedly buried with the plates that were meant purposely to help Joseph Smith in the translation? They don't seem to pop up. He's right. They don't.
But the image he was giving to his investigators were that these were letters that he was able to somehow read. In fact, he has one of his pictures showing what Reformed Egyptian could have looked like. And so they're giving the false impression. And so he says, "During the lesson, I would explain how Joseph Smith used the Urim and Thummim. I also included pictures of Lehi and his family on the boat, Mormon editing the scrolls and plates, and Jesus appearing to the Nephites. My flip charts gave my investigators a better, more complete picture of the Book of Mormon story." He sounds pretty satisfied that he has given them the ability to understand more that the church didn't provide him with. So he was giving them the best possible scenario of what this all was about.
Clearly, it sounds like he's trying to go the extra mile.
Yes.
To make his teaching as effective as possible with these investigators.
And he only has the church to go with these magazines, so he's doing the best he can, and my hat goes off to him. As a teacher, you go the extra mile, and he tried to. "But little did I know of my errors," he writes. "Even teaching the Urim and Thummim was incorrect. Sure, he used those for the first 116 pages that were later lost and never published. But what the Book of Mormon is today was dictated while Joseph put his head in a hat and looked at a stone. While he used this technique, the plates were sometimes not even in the same room or house. Why were the plates then needed? I mean, look at Nephi, who killed for a set of plates, for crying out loud."
Oh, that's a good point. I'd never even thought about that, but he's right. he makes a good point there, because the Book of Mormon talks about how Nephi was commanded by the Holy Spirit to kill Laban and to take these brass plates that later would be used, and some of the information of those brass plates would be incorporated into the gold plates. Why would he have to go through that?
He says, I wasn't trying to deceive or take advantage of people. I was just teaching what I was taught. I went to all 4 years of seminary and had really good attendance. I even won the scripture chase battles. I also took a year of the Book of Mormon at Ricks College before I left to Argentina. I cannot remember any time where Joseph looking into a hat at a brown stone was taught, ever. Why would I dig any deeper when I trusted the narrative that was found everywhere I looked when I studied?
Let me stop you there, and that's a point that we've been raising. Why would a member try to look for something like this? Why would they, if it's never been brought up in, let's say, a class discussion or whatever? The only way I would see them wanting to look it up is if someone told them about it, and usually who was telling stories like this before all of a sudden now the church is being transparent? It would be probably some Christian who's read about this on their own, maybe from a website that was critical of Mormonism, and brought it up to a member of the LDS church.
And then he says, maybe I could have studied more. Maybe if I dropped by Temple Square and see what was at the visitor center, I could find a more accurate portrayal. And where he writes that, he puts a picture that he says is hung at the visitor center. And there's Joseph and Oliver, no curtain between them, and Joseph looking at the plates to be able to tell Oliver what to write down.
I've seen that painting. I know exactly what painting he's talking about.
So he wraps it up by saying, so maybe the people I taught will now see the image of the seer stone that the church released this week, and maybe they will be upset with me for teaching them incorrectly. I was a part of this cover-up of sorts, and for that, I truly apologize. I deeply love you and care for you, and I am so sorry I misled you. If I would have known, I would have taught you correctly. Please accept my most sincere apology. And then he writes, P.S., I'm still waiting for that image from the church with Joseph looking into a hat. Only then will my flip chart be complete.
Wow. I can understand the remorse that he's going through, because I have heard that from many ex-Mormons who were on missions, and they do feel a sense of guilt for what they taught these people, and especially for those who were converted to the Mormon church, and then they find out that the church is not true. We want to continue looking at this blog by Paul Barker, Rational Faiths, Keeping Mormonism Weird. It's titled, I'm Sorry, Argentina. And then we want to look at some of the comments that were made following this article.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. How would you like to have Mormonism Research Ministry address your church on the subject of Mormonism? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson have spoken at many Christian churches all over the country. You see, they can tailor their presentation to meet your church's needs. Anything from a one-day basic introduction to a weekend symposium. You'll find these PowerPoint presentations clear, articulate, and presented in a Christ-honoring fashion. So let your pastor know today that you'd like to have MRM speak at your church. Write us at contact@mrm.org.